It's a case from the Imre Yosef. Reuven had a minion in his house, and he needed a sefer Torah for the minion. So at first he rented one, and after a while he made an arrangement that he would stop paying monthly payments for it, and it became a loan. So Reuven had a loan of a sefer Torah for his minion in his house. Reuven then moved away, but the minion continued, and Shimon the Gabbai took over the loan of a sefer Torah, and the minion continued to run with Shimon in charge as the Gabbai. Yes. So Shimon is now the borrower of the sefer Torah, the Torah, and one Leil Shabbos, Lo Aleinu, the Leinster caught fire and burned down the house, and the sefer Torah got burned. Rachmana Litzlan. So Shaila is the Shimon Chayiv to pay. Shimon is a Shoel. A Shoel, like we grant, is Chayiv for Shia, Geneva, Laveda, and an Ones. The only thing he's cut from is Mesa Machsim Alacha. So the question is, will he be, is a Shimon Chayiv to pay? Before I talk about this case, and that's really what the whole case is going to be tonight, just to review based on what we had. If instead of the burning down, what happened was they were rolling it for Hagbar Galila, and the Sefer Torah tore while they were rolling it, so what would the halacha be? You'd say it'd be Mesa Machsim Malacha. But lachar, that'll depend on this machlokas we've spoken about. Right, the Machna Ephraim says that according to the Ramban, who says that the Svar Mesa Machsim Malacha is that when the owner gives over an item that dies in the middle of the work, it shows that there was a chisaron in the item. So here you don't see the chisaron. The idea of the Sefer Torah was to sit and use. The fact that it got torn by rolling, the Machna Ephraim says, well, he's not really talking about a real Sefer Torah, he's talking about a Sefer that got worn out through use. That's not a chisaron in the Sefer, that's because that person used it a lot, and no Sefer could withstand such use, so that's like a freak thing. So according to the Ramban, he says it wouldn't be Mesa Machsim Malacha, but according to the Ramah, that says whenever you give something to someone, you know there's a risk that it could get ruined. So here also, when you give someone a sefer, you know it could get ruined, so that would be Mesa Machsim Malacha. The Maharsham had this question of a sefer Torah, a real sefer Torah that someone did Galila, and it was Galila and through Hagba, and somehow it's not clear how it tore, but through rolling the sefer Torah, the sefer tore. Now if it tears on the seam, it's not a big deal, so you just sew it back up. But here what happened was the sefer Torah tore in the parchment, the cloth, and it went almost to the letters, so they had to write a whole new yeriya, which could be a few hundred dollars. So there the Maharsham had that question, what's halacha going to be like? So he paskin that that's called Mesa Machsim Halacha. Because even according to the Ramban, it could be a sefer Torah. Normal use is that it should be, you should be able to roll it. You have to roll it from one to the next, unless you should tell him that this is our only sefer, and that's what we do when we only have one sefer. You tell them this is our only sefer, we're going to roll it from on Yantif, from there to Pinchas and back. They should know that's the only one that's going to go through not more than possible regular use. It's not just going to be, you know, week by week. So if the owner knows that, his sefer should be good enough, strong enough that it should withstand such use. So if there was no pshia involved, right, they weren't doing it too fast, they weren't doing it too recklessly, the Maharsham says the Vipater as Mesa Machsim Halacha. So that's more of a usual occurrence, that when you're borrowing a sefer, the Eitz Chaim falls off through normal use. Things that are in normal use, that's Mesa Machsim Halacha. The person gave it to you, both according to the Ramban here we would say, and according to the Ramah we would say that when he gives it to you, he should have told you, be careful, the Eitz Chaim gets loose. Sometimes he didn't tell you that. That means that it's his pshia for not telling you that. Or, like the Ramah, when you lend someone something, you know that if they have a regular use, things could happen. And the shoel would not be responsible for any damage that occurs like that. Okay, so that's a simple halacha. Our case tonight, we're talking where it wasn't Mesa Machsim Halacha. There was the Bayer Rachmana Litzlan, which seems to be an onus, which is an onus. There was no pshia that they assume that it wasn't a pshia that the neighbors were left lit. It was regular leicher, and they even said they checked and they thought they were out already, and it was just someone wasn't apparently, and it wasn't a pshia. They were already burned down. So it's an onus. The Sefer Torah was borrowed. So the question is there any way to get Shimon out of being chayiv to pay for the Sefer Torah? And if there's insurance, we're talking about the deductible, and it could be, like we said last time, even if there is insurance, it could be the owner doesn't want to use his homeowner's insurance, because then there'll be one strike against him, and he'll say, you know, if something really big comes up, he doesn't want to have that strike against him, so we'll leave insurance out of this. Now, the whole shiur is going to be based on a Shuvas Ran. The Sma brings this Ran. The Ran had a somewhat similar shaila that Reuven had lent a Sefer Torah to Shimon, but Reuven wanted a mashkon. And he asked Shimon, I'll lend you my Sefer Torah, but I want a mashkon, I want a security. And Shimon gave Reuven another Sefer, one that he couldn't use for whatever reason. I don't know why Shimon just didn't take the Sefer himself. But anyway, Reuven lent, I don't know if I switched the names, Reuven lent Shimon a Sefer. So Shimon is a borrower, but Shimon gave Reuven another Sefer as a mashkon. And one night, armed bandits came in and stole both of them. Right? That's a case of honor. That's not Geneva, because Geneva is something that you could do something about. But here there's an armed robber. There's nothing you could do about it. So there was an onus, and they both got stolen. Later, the Mashkan Sefer Torah got returned. In other words, Reuven got back the Mashkan, but the borrowed Sefer Torah is still gone. So Reuven says, I don't want to give you back your Torah to Shimon, because Shimon, you are a shorel, you're a borrower, and even though it got stolen through an onus, you're a borrower, a shorel is chayyah for an onus, and I don't have to give back your mashkin, because you're not giving me back my sefer Torah. But that's the shayla the Ran had. And the Ran comes up with an interesting reason why Shimon will be pater, why the shoel will be pater in that case. He says that the Gemara considers it a mitzvah to lend someone a Sefer Torah. Right, the Gemara in Bamitzia, Chavtes Amid Aleph, the Gemara says, Hashoel Sefer Torah mechaveiro. If you borrow a Sefer Torah from your friend, Hareze le yashilena le'achra, you're not allowed to lend it to anyone else. You're a borrower. You're not allowed to give it to someone else. He lent it to you. You can't give it to another person. Right, the Gemara, Ma'yir Yasefer Torah. Why you say a Sefer Torah? Anything you borrow, you're not allowed to give to another person. Why do you pick a Sefer Torah? So the Gemara answers, Sefer Torah is Srichale. The Tana had to teach us, the Bryce had to say a case of a Sefer Torah. Because Mara was a Tema, you might have thought, Michale Inish and Sefer Misuv Emoni. The person, the owner, does likes it, the fact that you right now you don't need the Sefer. You'll give it to another person, so he's happy that his Sefer is being used. So you might think that it's Mutter to give it to another person. So Kamash Milan, the Brisa therefore tells us that no, even though you might think such a chashbon, you're still not allowed to give it without permission. You don't have the right to give out his property to another person. So the Ran says, you see from this Gemara though, that there is a mitzvah to lend someone a Sefer Torah. Right, that's Aleph. So you can't give it to another person because even though it's a divine mitzvah. So we see from here that lending a Sefer Torah is a divine mitzvah. Now, once it's the divine mitzvah, we have this halacha called Pruta the Rav Yosef. Right? You remember there's a halacha that if you find a lost article, you're a Shomer Aveda, you're watching a lost article in your house, you're waiting for this person to come and reclaim his jacket that you found. So the halacha is, what's a machlokis? The machlok is whether you're considered a shomer chinam at that point, or are you a shomer sachar? What are you? Kashid Rapa says, you're a shomer chinam, you're not getting paid to watch that article. It's only sitting by you until the owner comes and claims it, so you're a shomer chinam. But Rav Yosef says, since you have a mitzvah to take care of it, and whenever you're taking care of it, you have to spread it out, you have to, whatever you have to do with it, there's a mitzvah for you to do something with it, you have to take care of it. And whenever you're taking care of it, if an ani knocks on your door to ask for money, you have a heter to say, I'm sorry, I'm busy now, because also if you miss a part of the mitzvah, if you're doing one mitzvah, you don't have to do the other mitzvah. So that's worth money to you. the fact that you can save money from having to, not having to pay, give tzedakah, that's worth a pruta to you. That's worth something. That's some benefit. So Rav Yosef says, if you're watching an aveda, if you're watching something, the fact that at that moment you're patur from giving an ani tzedakah, that makes you a shomer sacha. You're getting some benefit from that. That's what Rav Yosef says. Rabbi disagrees. The Gemara says the same thing as if you lend. The Gemara in Bar Mitzia, Pei Bei, says the same thing as if you lend someone money. If you lend someone money and you get a mashkin in return, so the Gemara says it's the same achlokas. Even though you might be getting some benefit from the mashkin, the fact that you're doing a mitzvah by lending your money, at that point in time, if someone, if money would come and ask you for money, you'd say, look, I'm sorry, I'm busy with the mitzvah, I can't give you anything. So I'm getting some benefit from this loan of money. So that makes me a shomer sachar, even though I'm not getting paid to watch that mashkin, but the fact that at that moment I received it, I was putter from giving an ani tzedakah, that's worth a pruta. It makes me a shomer sachar, according to Yosef, and Rabbi disagrees. So the Ran says, if there's a mitzvah to lend someone a sefer Torah, so if there's a mitzvah to lend someone a sefer Torah, at that point in time I'm going to be putter from giving an ani a pruta, giving only some bread, that's worth a pruta to me, and the person's not a shoel. Because when are you considered a borrower? That's only when you get all the benefit, and the owner doesn't get any benefit at all. Because if the owner gets any benefit at all, then you become a renter, you become a shomer socher, you become a socher. It's like, can I borrow your car and I'll give you $10? So then at that point, the fact he's getting $10, that makes you a socher. You're not chayiv for onsim at that point. You're only chayiv for gneiva v'aveda. So same thing over here. Let me borrow your sefer Torah and I'm going to give you a penny. What's that penny? That penny is, since you're doing a mitzvah, because it's a mitzvah for you to lend me the sefer Torah, since you're doing a mitzvah, you're going to be patur from giving a ani tzedakah. That's worth a pruta. So mail, I'm giving you something. So I should be a socher, I'm a renter, now I'm not a shoel. So that's what the Ran Paskins. The Ran Paskins, when this Shimon borrowed the Sefer Torah, he really became only a renter, he became only a socher, not a shoel, not a borrower, because the owner is getting something in return. That owner is getting that benefit of not having to give the ani tzedakah, which is worth a pruta. So he's getting something in return for giving up his sefer Torah. It's like he's getting paid, and the owner becomes, the person using it becomes only a renter. Since what happened, that armed robbery, was considered an onus, the Ran Paskin, that Shimon was potter from paying for the sefer Torah. Machna Ephraim asks, it's almost the bottom of the handout. The Machna Ephraim asks this kasha, that why are you picking on a sefer Torah? Should be with anything. By the way, this is paskin by the Tzma. The Tzma paskins in Siman Ayin Beis. He paskins this Ran. And the Machna Ephraim, the Imre Yosher, in another place, asks, why are you talking about a sefer Torah? Isn't there a mitzvah to lend your property? You're doing a mitzvah whenever you lend your property. Why, if you lend someone a car, you're doing a mitzvah? So he brings, first he brings from the Panim Yafos, from the Aflah, that there is no mitzvah to lend someone a car. There's a mitzvah to lend someone money. In Kesef Talva Ami, that's the pasuk the Panim Yafos is going on. That's a mitzvah to lend someone money. But there's no mitzvah, you're not doing a mitzvah when you lend someone your car. What's the difference? I'm not saying it's a bad thing to do. But you're not being mekayim a mitzvah at that time. What's the svara? Because by money, you have money. And it's sitting in the bank. You're not doing anything with it. So what's it hurt to lend him that money? So instead of sitting by you not doing anything, do a mitzvah and lend him money, and he'll give you the money back, and you're no worse off than you were beforehand. But to lend him your car, you're nervous. Is it going to really come back the same way? Is it going to be exactly the same? It's going to be 100 miles closer to its death. But you're losing. When you lend someone your chafetzim, so then we can't say you're mechuyev that there's a mitzvah to lend it, because there's a reason you might not want to. So it's only by money there's a mitzvah, but not by anything else. The Imre Yosher, or Meir Arach, says his own svara. He says that by money you have nothing you can do with it. You're not allowed to take interest on money. You can't rent out your money. So you have nothing to do with your money. So then you might as well lend it to someone. But any other thing you own, a car, a tool, you can rent it out, you can make money with it. So we can't say, we can't be mechayev of you to give it to someone. So there's no mitzvah to give out other chafesim to other people. It's only by a Sefer Torah, where there the Gemara said it's a mitzvah to lend a Sefer Torah, right? And it's really a question on the Gemara. The Gemara said, you might have thought a Sefer Torah is different because he did a mitzvah. Right? Maybe everything's a mitzvah. So you see, it's only by a Sefer Torah where there's a real mitzvah, a limud haTorah, that's where we have this whole svara of truth to Rav Yosef, but not by anything else. And it's the obvious parallel that Rav Yosef wants to bring, so that should be the same thing over here. Right? In our case, where the Reuven had borrowed the Sefer Torah for his minion in his house, and now Shimon took it over, so we should say that Shimon is not a real Shoel, because the owner of the Sefer Torah gets some benefit from it, like the Ran says, and through Putra Rav Yosef he has that benefit. It's like he's getting paid something in return. So Mimela, at first glance we would say that Shimon should be Patsy here also, because he's like a socher, he's like renting, he's not really like a borrower. The problem is, there's a number of problems with the Ran itself. First of all, there's a problem how we paskin, how this not paskin like the Ran. The Shach asks that the Ran himself seems to be saying that he's going with Rav Yosef and saying there's proof to Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef holds that whenever you are busy doing a mitzvah and you're patur from giving the ani, that's called worth a pruta. That's called makes you into a shomer sachar. But Rabbi disagreed, we saw. And it's really a machlokis haposkin, how to paskin. So how come the Sma says so simply that if you he brings the Ran? The Ran happens to paskin like Rav Yosef. So the Shachias Bishlam, other Ran Lashitasa paskins like Rav Yosef. In Shavuos he paskins like Rav Yosef, so it makes sense. The Ran paskins like Rav Yosef, so the Ran can paskin that if you borrow the Sefer Torah, the fact that the owner is doing a mitzvah, that's worth a pruta to him, and that makes him a renter rather than a borrower. But we paskin like, or many paskin like Rabba, so it should be at least a machlokes to Dina. So how can you say that so simply that it should be patur? So the Ktsos answers that kasha. An interesting chiluk. He says there's a difference between making someone a shomer sachar and removing the status of shoel from someone. To make someone a shomer sachar, you have to be a shomer sachar, I have to get paid a pruta, or to be a renter, I have to pay you the owner a pruta. Like we learned last week, by borrowing, you're not considered a borrower unless you get a benefit of a shomer pruta. So same thing in the case of you're watching an aveda, that you should be called a shomer sachar. For you to be called a shomer sachar for watching this aveda, you're only going to be called a shomer sachar if you're getting a shomer pruta, a benefit. So Rav Yosef holds the fact that you'll be putter from giving an ani, a loaf of bread, that's worth a pruta. So Yosef said that makes you a shomer sachar. Rablo disagrees. He says, not that he doesn't hold that there's a hana, there is benefit there, but he holds that benefit's not worth a pruta, and that's why he said that's not enough to make you a shomer sachar. But when you want to become a borrower, to be a shoel, the Gemara says that has to be, we'll see soon, a shoel has to be kol hana shalo. That means you have to be getting the full benefit of the use of this item, and the owner doesn't have any benefit at all. But over here, where you're getting use of the Sefer Torah, but the owner is having some benefit, he's having the benefit of not having to pay the ani, even though that might not be worth a pruta, but he's getting some benefit. So in that case, even Rabbi would agree that mitzvah, the fact that he's doing a mitzvah, is enough to prevent the borrower from having it in of a shoel, and he'll be considered a socher instead. Right? That's just interesting, you saw from the Ktos. So that's the first taina. The second taina, the Machan Ephraim has another taina on this. He says that how can you say at all that there's a pruta of Yosef over here, that there's that the owner's getting paid? When is he doing the mitzvah? The mitzvah takes place when the borrower, Shimon, in both cases we call him Shimon, it takes place when the Shimon takes the Sefer Torah and he uses it. At that time, Reuven's home. At that time, the owner is home. He's not, and he'll have to give the ani a pruta at that time. So how he's asking on the run, how can the run say that the borrower is really a socher, because the owner has that benefit of having done that mitzvah, the mitzvah only takes place when he actually learns from it. But, and at that point, the owner's home. That's the Machon Ephraim's kasha. Now, the Mishpat Shlomo, and I think it's also Medliuk in the Tumim and the Yosher, answers that kasha also pretty easily. And I think it makes a lot of sense. When I'm lending someone a Sefer Torah, when do I get that mitzvah? When is the mitzvah? My mitzvah doesn't have to be dafka at the moment that he's learning from it. My mitzvah is that I'm enabling so this person to learn from the Sefer Torah, or to read it in shul. That's when I've done the mitzvah. When I hand it over to him, I'm doing the mitzvah because I'm enabling him to do the mitzvah. The same thing with an ani. A person has to say, the moment you give him the money, so you gave it to him. That you did the mitzvah, that you hear, that's called, you give someone a loan, you can hear that, you're doing the mitzvah at that moment. But he's not going to eat the money, he has to still take the money and spend it. So, but we say, since you gave him the money, and the money enables him to do something with it, so that makes you a mitzvah doer at that moment. So at that moment when you're giving him money, at that moment when you're giving the Sefer Torah, and honey came along, you would be parted from giving him the fruit. So you could say, look, I'm sorry, I'm busy doing a mitzvah. He's not learning it that second, but I'm enabling him to learn whenever he's going to want to take it. So at that second, I will be considered an osei mitzvah, and a osei gemitzvah is parted in a mitzvah, and I'll be parted from the ani. So that answers the second problem with the Ran. The Nesivas, most of this is in Siman Ayin Beis by Halachas of Mashkin. The Nesivas has another question. He asks, B'chlal, he doesn't understand how you can call this. Okay, we can understand that it's osei gemitzvah parted in a mitzvah. He's getting, at that time, he'd be putter from giving the honey a piece of bread. It might be worth a futza to him. But it's not, but to be called a shoel, to be not called a shoel, that has to mean that the borrower is giving something to the owner. Right? I'm paying you $10, I'm paying you $100, that makes me a renter. But over here, I'm not paying you anything, because you're doing a mitzvah to your own volition, so you're getting some benefit from it. But it's not that I'm giving you that money, you're getting it memela. Hashem's giving you a schar for doing a mitzvah. And now you'll be part of giving in the honey some bread. But you can't say that the shoel is giving something to the socher to say that he's now a renter and not a borrower anymore. So Nesiva says the Ran never meant to say such a svara, that when you send someone, if you lend someone a Sefer Torah, you're not that person's not a shoel. The Ran, if you recall, is talking where he lent him a Sefer Torah, but he also took one as a mashkan. So the Ran says, you know why he's not a shoel over there? Because the Ran meant that since the owner of the borrowed Sefer Torah was holding this other one as a mashkan, and whenever he was airing it out, whatever he had to do with it, he would be put from giving money to the ani. So there, you lent me Reuven, lent Shimon a Sefer Torah. Shimon gave Reuven something that will enable Reuven to be put from giving tzedakah. So it's only in that case where there was a mashkan. That's where the Ran said the borrower will be put from owns him, because he's not really a borrower. But in a simple case, if you lend someone a Sefer Torah, the fact that he's getting schar because he lent the Sefer Torah, that's not coming from the borrower to the owner. It's something that comes from the Meila. So he says the whole halacha is very limited. It's only limited to a case where there's a mashkin, but in normal cases, if you lend someone a Sefer Torah, you will be chayiv. Now the Kitzos and the Meshovin Sivas, he doesn't hear how that should make you pater, because then at the time, if you say the time of the loan, you weren't patur, so you wouldn't be patur from giving tzedakah at that time. And later on, when you're rolling it, it's not so simple to say that schar is coming from the shoel. It's you're rolling it now. You're doing a mitzvah with it. To say that he's like paying you, he doesn't hear that. And but more than that, he says the words of the Ran were that since he gets a mitzvah by lending him the Sefer Torah, the Ran brought the Gemara in Bava Metzia that said that there's a mitzvah to lend a Sefer Torah. So he rejects the Nesivas And he says that's not pshat. The Ran is really saying a shoel, someone who borrows a sefer Torah, is normally patur. Right. So we have these little, we have these maybe big problems with the Ran, but each one we answered. The Shach's question: who says we should pass them? Like the Rav Yosef, that so said that it could be that even Rabba would agree in such a case that that makes you not a shoel. The fact that the mitzvah seems to take place only later, that we say is no problem, because there's really a mitzvah at this moment to enable him to learn, even though at that moment he's not actually learning from it. And the Nesivus is pshat in the Ran to say it's limited to a case of a mashkin. That doesn't seem to be what the Ran is really saying. However, Rav Meir Arak concludes that there's one other problem we have to think about over here, and this is where Reuven and Shimon get involved. The Ktzos holds, why are you not a shoel? Because at the time you lend him the Sefer Torah, at that moment, he holds, that's when you become a beneficiary, and that if an ani would come to you at that moment, you'd be patur from giving him tzedakah. So at that moment, you are gaining something from the shoel. But in our case, that didn't happen. Right? This is why he needed the whole thing. In our case, the owner of the Sefer Torah didn't give the Sefer Torah to Shimon. It was sitting in the Aron HaKodesh already, because Reuven had borrowed it many years ago. It was sitting in the Aron HaKodesh. So at the time that Shimon became a shoel, maybe Shimon never became a shoel, because what kinyan did he make? But let's assume that he became a shoel at a certain when he spoke to Reuven, and when he spoke to the owner. At that point in time, the owner wouldn't be patur from giving an ani tzedakah, because he's not doing anything. He's not busy. The Sefer Torah is already in the Aron HaKodesh. There's nothing to make him patur from. So the Imre Yosha says, in this case, it could be even the Ktzos would agree, and everyone should agree, that the whole Shiloh, you can't use the Ran's lumdus over here, because nothing's happening at the moment of the loan. The Sefer Torah is already in the Aron HaKodesh, and there's never a point in time where the owner of the Sefer Torah will have been patur from Futur Rav Yosef. So that really should be big problems for Shimon. But there's one more thing that we'll talk about tonight. Next week we'll deal with another issue that he deals with in another case. But tonight there's one other issue, and that is, I left out part of the story until now. And part of the story was, when they made the new arrangement, right, originally I said that they had rented the Sefer Torah, then they made an arrangement to borrow it. It wasn't a complete loan. They agreed to borrow it, but, and as the owner agreed to lend it for free to stop getting money, but the Kehila, Reuven, we'll say Reuven or Shimon, they had said, we will make sure we fix we'll fix the Sefer Torah, we'll be Magia as we go along. If anything comes up, we'll fix it. So you're gaining something by letting us the Sefer Torah. Your Sefer Torah is going to be in good shape. It's going to be Muga. It's being used every week, and it's going to be Muga. So the Imre Yosha says, so let's say that makes you not a shoel anymore. But why do you want to say I'm a borrower? Because I'm not paying you any money, the owner. Right, we were forgetting Kutu Rav Yosef, that we took care of. But you're saying I'm a borrower because I didn't pay any money, and Kutu Rav Yosef isn't helping. But I'm giving you something. I'm fixing the Sefer Torah. Whenever something comes up, that costs money. And in fact, they're agreeing to pay us off for it to fix it. So they're keeping the Sefer Torah in good condition. That should make them not a shoel. If they're not a shoel, they'll be part of a monsoon. Okay, good. Right, so. And that's what the Imre Yosha says. The Gemara talks about a shoel. The Gemara in Sadi Dalid on the days, the Gemara says the definition of a shoel is kol hanoa shalo. The Gemara asks, the Gemara has a whole shock of Italian to understand what the other shomim are, but just in this Nakuda, the Gemara asks, how can you say a borrower receives full benefit and the owner doesn't get any benefit? The owner lent this person an animal. At that point, the whole time he's borrowing the animal, he's going to be feeding the animal. So when it says the kind of Ag was talking with animals in the swamp, and he could get whatever food he needs without having to spend any money. Or Ibai say, Malotei Makohan Nashala, don't say the definition of a borrower of a shoel is that he gets all of the benefit. Say that he has to get most of the benefit. He doesn't have to get all of the benefit, as long as he gets most of the benefit. So the Imre Yosher says, we're going to say the same thing now. Just like if I borrow an animal, the fact that I'm feeding it, I'm saving the owner money, he doesn't have to feed the animal now, doesn't lose me my status as a shoel. So same thing if I'm using the Sefer Torah every single week. The fact that I pay a little money to fix a mistake here and there, that should not remove my status of a shoel as well. So, once again, we could say the fact that they're paying money, that makes me a zocher. However, he asks another kasha. If you want to say, this is a good svara, that as long as you get most of the benefit, you're still a shoel. So he asks, so then what was the Ran talking about? Let's go back to the Ran. Right, the Ran said, when you borrow the Sefer Torah, the fact that the owner is getting a pruta of Rav Yosef, that he's saving himself from giving the honey bread, that makes this person not a shoel. What do you mean? You're only getting a little bit of benefit, owner. The borrower, the shoel, is getting rov hanah shalom, and still the Ran said, the fact that he's getting something makes you not a borrower anymore. But that's the Machna Prime's kasha, another kasha he has on the Ran. And then what's the pshat? How do you answer that kasha? Right, there's a difference between food and outside things. Food, you're not giving the owner anything. You're not giving him payment, because when he gets the animal back, he's still going to have to feed the animal.
But he saves.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying when he says it. I hear what you're saying. But you're not giving the owner anything because he's going to have to keep feeding the animal when he gets back. If you fix the Sefer Torah, when he gets that Sefer Torah back, he has something more valuable than when he started with. That's, I think. But he's getting now, in return for me lending you the Sefer Torah, you gave me back something that's more valuable. That's called a gain. That could be called schiris. And the same thing, in return for me lending you that Sefer Torah, I saved all that money from the hordes of aniyim coming to me, and I saved all that money from an outside source. That makes you not a shoel anymore. But the food, when, even though you're right, I saved the money, I would have had to spend $50 a month to pay the food, so this month I didn't have to spend $50. But the animal I get back is still the same animal, it's not worth anything more, and I'll have to continue to feed it, just like I had to feed it before. The fact that you saved me those $50 during that week, that's called mir hano, that's called rov hano shalom. You just maintained it. Like Doug was saying, that you have to, you say even better, if you put gas in the car, right, you put gas in the car, you're going to say that, I shouldn't be called a shoel because you lent me your car and you didn't have to put gas in it all week. I put the gas for you. Right? Normally you spend $40 a week on gas, and so because you lent me the car, you saved yourself money that week. Well, you know, that's not going to make you not a shoel. And still, I had all the benefit. I went to the gas because I wanted to use it. Right? So same thing with the animal. So what? You didn't have to pay, but you didn't have to put to feed the animal that week. But you weren't using it either. You gave me the animal to use. The fact that you saved the money, that doesn't make a difference. By the same token, you could say the same thing. You could say, look, you're fixing it for your own good, and it's, if you don't fix it, you wouldn't be able to use it. You wouldn't want to borrow it. It wouldn't be for your own good. But there at the end, he's saying, the Imre Yosher says, at the end, the owner has a product that's worth more than it was when he lent it out, and that's called a gain. So to review, we had this Ran. The Ran does hold, and he says clearly, that if you lend someone a Sefer Torah because you're doing a mitzvah, at that moment, you're parted from giving an oni tzedakah, that makes the person not a borrower, it makes them a socher who will be parted from onsen. Right, that's what the Ran says. There were different complaints we had about the Ran. We said that, if so said, it could even apply, even Rabbah could agree with such a svara. We said that even though at that moment he's not actually learning from it, that's still called a Devar Mitzvah at that time. We said that the Nesivus' Svara was a little difficult to say, that he's only talking because he gave him a mashkin. The Pasha of the Ran is that the Shoel is Pater, even if there wasn't a mashkin, he'd still be Pater, because just from that very fact he did a mitzvah. we said in our case, the Imre Yosher's case, there was an added issue that there could be that there was no Kuta Rav Yosef at all, because at the time of the borrowing, there was no mitzvah going on. There was no action going on which would make him barter. Say the negotiations to make him part of that's a little hard to hear. You can give the money while you're negotiating, or if you're actually giving a Sefer Torah, so then you're doing a mitzvah, you'd be part of. However, he does say at the end, we'll see another svara next week, but the one svara we saw, he said, is that it could be, since they were paying to be magia, they were paying to fix it, we wouldn't say it's like a case of just feeding an animal. Here, since the owner's getting a better product back at the end, for that, that'll make him not a shoel, it'll be really a sofer. And because of that, and because the other svaras were cautious that he answered, but they are not so cautious, he did paskin that Shimon was not liable today for the Sefer Torah. He was not considered a shoel, even assuming that it was an onus, which he assumes, he would be chayiv. He would not be chayiv because he's not considered a shoel. But once again, if there was a normal case of tearing while it's used, that'd be meis machzulah. That's not what we're talking about tonight. We're talking about a case of an onus, and we're saying that he's not a real shoel. Next week we'll see another taina, but we'll be talking about different cases, but it'll be another wrinkle in this case from the Imre Yosher.